Yes, no, okay. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Hope you had a nice lunch. Just to say that I'm apologizing on behalf of Christophe, who had to leave for a little while, but will be back a little later. So I'm going to go ahead and start the afternoon session with the moderated discussion by Ben Simmons. We are aware that sometimes we don't have enough time for a big discussion after the presentations. We hoped now that after the moderated discussion, as we're going to open it up to the audience, you'll be able to give your views, and please do give us your views and thoughts and recommendations during that time. But of course, if you feel that at the end of the workshop you still haven't been able to answer all of your questions or give us some further suggestions, there will be somebody right now handing out some paper for you to write your question or your recommendations down with your name and contact information so we can get back to you or take into account those thoughts that you have. But we are going to try to, as much as possible, to include you in your discussion. You also have on the screen the name of the email address of Alicia, who has been organizing this workshop as the lead organizer of the workshop, so she can also receive your comments and feedback and would very much appreciate that. So without much further ado, I'd just like to get started on the afternoon session. Those were really great presentations this morning. I'm sure you all appreciate them. Thank you very much to the speakers. Now we'll have a bit of time to further delve into those presentations and ask some questions of the presenters, and that will be carried out by our moderator, Benjamin Simmons from the GGKP. He's the founding head of the Green Growth Knowledge Platform Secretariat based in Geneva. Prior to his current role, and a lot of you may have known him also from his previous roles, Ben coordinated the establishment and implementation of the Economics of Ecosystems and Biodiversity, TEEB, initiative. He was also head of the UNEP Trade Unit, where he managed UNEP's Trade and Environment Program. So welcome to Ben, and thanks very much. You have the floor. Thank you.
Thank you, Yvonne. And welcome back, everyone, from the lunch break. I hope everyone is now alive and satisfied and fully ready to engage in a open discussion. I would like to commend the ECE in creating this space for an open discussion. We'd like this session to be as interactive as possible. We were certainly treated this morning with a summary of the leading measurement frameworks focused on green economy and green growth. And again, I'd like to commend the ECE in really delivering the leading thinkers in that space. We were quite fortunate to have Derek here, who was able to summarize and who has been very active in both measurement frameworks and modeling around green economy. Colleagues from SEA, Fulai, who has been leading green economy work from the outset and has also been a leader, obviously, with the Green Economy Progress Index and Framework. And then from the OECD and the Green Growth Indicators. And Michaela, thank you for those presentations. We had some prepared questions to sort of stimulate the discussion and then turn it over to you, the audience. However, we benefited at the end of the last session with, I think, two very important questions, one from Kit and one from Guy. So I think I would like to start with those questions and just continue the discussion, since they were so central to what we hope to achieve through this workshop. And Kit, perhaps we'd start with your question, and I'll try to paraphrase and then turn it over to the speakers. And if I haven't done a good job of that, please let me know. But my understanding from your question is you asked, what is expected of these sectors and the specific sectors in terms of these global green economy frameworks? And I think an added question was, how useful is it for the sectors to develop their own measurement frameworks? And I think really trying to understand this dialogue between, we have these very, you know, very interesting but very aggregated global frameworks for measurement, and we have very sector-specific data. And what should the relationship between those two be? And how can we ensure that the forests, and particularly the opportunities from the forest sector, are captured in these green economy measurement frameworks? Is that a fair characterization? Okay. Okay. So perhaps I'll start with the panel, and I think what is interesting also for these colleagues in the panel is I they don't often have an opportunity to interact with sector-specific experts. I mean, this is quite an unusual setting where you have these colleagues that tend to work at global aggregated levels, very rarely have an opportunity to get feedback from the sector-specific experts. So this is a real opportunity for the experts sitting on the panel as well. But perhaps start with Derek, your thoughts.
Right. Well, I suppose just picking up on your last comment, Ben, some years ago I actually worked quite a bit in forest sector issues, so for me it's nice, it's actually a welcome opportunity to reflect back on how this comes together, going from a macro perspective back towards that of a specific sector. I think given the certainly what I've seen, and I've been a member of the UN Committee on Environmental Economic Accounting, I think given how much is actually happening within the forest sector, I think it would be what really would be expected is an even more, perhaps an even stronger, more proactive engagement with some of these processes, in particular around the system of SIA. And we had the presentation from our colleague Francesco Tubiello at FAO, which I think also I recognized in the preparations for the workshop that the work that's going on there for the SEA agriculture, including forestry and fisheries, was less well known in some parts of the forestry community than one might have hoped, and it's really an opportunity, I would say, given that the thinking and even international coordination discussion in the forest sector is relatively advanced, is an opportunity to really shape that process and guide it in a way that does meet the that is realistic, as well as meeting as well as being successful in meeting the sort of the macro level expectations or demands. I know from my own experience that any of this type of engagement from sector experts, sector representatives, is very important to ensure that what's included in these types of frameworks or agendas is actually realistic, is measurable, and so the forest sector can help define what can be measured immediately and also over a medium term. And of course, we haven't even gotten to the latter part of our workshop today, where we will hear also more about what is happening in the forest sector. So there are a couple of specific areas where I think where I would expect more input from the sector itself could be of use. That would be and along a couple of the lines of a couple of topics that came up this morning. Attention to policies. We talked about fossil fuel subsidies, but what are the policies one would be looking for specifically in measuring contribution of forest sector to a green economy, so forest-specific policies. Also ecosystem services. You, of course, have worked with Teeb, and we had Salman. This is an area that perhaps has been of less direct interest in the forest sector as traditionally defined. I'm not sure. I might be incorrect on that, but it is also the area that probably offers the most the measurement and valuation, to the extent that that's possible or relevant. But in any case, the measurement of these various ecosystem services, the regulatory services, the cultural services, in many ways, work in the forest sector has paved a pathway, or has been leading in that area, and it would be excellent if that were integrated, or if that were feeding into these macro frameworks. So, in terms of your second question about, is it useful for the sector to develop its own frameworks, and the sector already has to some extent with sustainable forest management, criterion indicators, and Montreal process. Of course it's useful, but it would be particularly useful with the engagement with these other processes that are happening at other levels. And I'm thinking Also, in terms of the urgent need to start linking subnational initiatives at a subnational level, including in the private sector. So some of you might have heard of the Natural Capital Protocol and other measurement frameworks, the Global Reporting Initiative, which are, I believe, relevant for the forestry sector, linking those with national level frameworks that we've been talking about. And that is where the sectors really play a pivotal role because of their understanding of those realities. With that.
Thank you. Very interesting points. I mean, certainly increased engagement sounds like your call, and then possibly utilizing valuation methodologies in which to feed additional data into the green economy, green growth measurement frameworks. Caleb, perhaps I'll turn to you. You know, Derek paints a very rosy picture of increased sector engagement. I mean, I don't want to be too controversial, but I'm just wondering to what extent there's also a cost sectors. There's many, many economic sectors out there. Green economy, green growth cover most active economic sectors. Do you anticipate or can you anticipate any costs associated with engaging sectors? And certainly be interested in the OECD's view in terms of how you might consider utilizing additional forest data within the current OECD framework.
So I think I would agree with what Derek said that it is important to have more engagement from the forest sector to ensure that there's deep knowledge on the forest, and because you are the people who knows most about what is actually happening in terms of monitoring, in terms of policy. And I think the OECD added value on this would be to bring together all the different knowledge and information from the different sector to provide this overview of green economy. And of course, yes, this would come at the cost because there is such a deep lack of information, lack of data on the on forest, but not only on and also in terms of valuation. I mean, we heard an interesting presentation from Mr. Hussein earlier. We do have information on the physical flows, but we would need also to have more information on the non-monetary, non-market services that the forest provide, and more effort needs to be done on the methodology to understand how to put a price tag on these services, and unfortunately, I know that this work has been going on for a while, but we're still not there yet to be able to assess worldwide with a consistent methodology what are the prices of all these assets and services. And also on the links, on the role of having engagement from the from sector-specific expert. I think we have had our sister organization, the International Energy Agency, contributing to our Green Growth series and working papers. And I think it is interesting to have to know how. So I don't know if you remember, but I showed this slide where with the three boxes on policy, economy, and environment, and I think it's interesting to apply this at the sectoral level and to have a better understanding of how everything interacts with each other at different levels.
Excellent, very interesting. Fulai, there's been a tremendous amount of focus on valuation of forests, as that might be an answer in order to incorporate data into these frameworks. I'm wondering, are there other data sets, data points that you think might be useful to do the same thing? I mean, valuation has some intrinsic challenges that Salman explained, I think that many of us are familiar with. And so I'm curious to see whether you think there might be some other ones. And to what extent, I mean, you made a very interesting comment in your presentation this morning that you said, you know, the Green Economy Progress Index that UNEP is currently developing does not specifically reference any forest data, but presumably porous data feeds into some of the data points. So I'd be interested if you could start to further explain that.
Thanks. Yes, indeed. Forest is implicit in the green economy measurement framework. It's implicit, for example, in the indicator for protected areas, for example, right? Terrestrial protected area often overlaps with forested areas. And it is also implicit in the footprint, ecological footprint, for example. But it's not explicit at the moment in the framework. Of course, one is because if we are looking at the global planetary boundaries, the nine planetary boundaries, we have not seen a boundary that is closely connected to forest at the moment. And but having said that, it does not prevent us from it does not prevent the sectoral experts from developing their own sector-specific green economy measurement. And in this regard, you asked whether there are other ways than valuation. Here, I take it to mean monetary valuation of forests. And the answer is, of course, is yes, because long before monetary valuation, countries already started, in particularly Nordic countries, they started physical measuring physical changes to their forest stocks. And even in the existing in the SIA framework, the basis for valuation is the physical accounts. You need to have the physical information to serve as the basis for applying monetary valuation techniques. And physical measurement is basically the following. Look at the stock of the forest at the beginning of the year. You look at the situation at the end of the year. You get an idea of what are the changes in between. And, you know, that's basically the physical measurement. And I think physical measurement remains a very important tool for managers, for policymakers, to have a physical understanding or have an understanding of the physical situation, you know, within the forest sector in order to better manage the volume, the quantity, as opposed to, you know, judging or making your policies only on the basis of monetary changes, monetary valuation changes. Now, having said that, I do like to mention the one possibility of applying the global framework to the forest sector. And as you might recall, in the morning I described the narrative focusing on the economic transformation as a way of delivering shared prosperity, poverty eradication within planetary boundaries. The economic transformation can be narrowed down to the forest sector, and we can talk about the transformation within the forestry or within the forest sector. And what does that transformation imply? It could imply, if we use that narrative, it could imply the strengthening of the forest as a form of natural capital. It talks about, you can talk about afforestation, reforestation, tree planting, and so on and so forth, strengthening or restoring degraded forest systems, for example, as a one way of building up the forest capital. Number two, you can think of using clean technologies to apply to logging operations. There are things like low impact logging. There are things like sustainable logging and so on, right? So which imply the use of low impact methodologies or you know production processes. You can also talk about the investing in workers or communities working on forests or working in forest areas, right? You're talking about human capital dealing with forests. You can also talk about social institutions, making sure that those workers, those communities in forest areas, they are not negatively affected either by the forest degradation or the measures taken to protect forests, or the measures taken to transform the forest sector. You know, in some cases, you have to impose a logging ban, for example, as a way of protecting the forests. In other cases, you may want to promote sustainable forestry and so on. But in those cases where you do impose a logging ban, how do you deal with the communities or the workers laid off from the forest sector, for example? So we can apply that narrative to the forest sector. And similarly, we can talk about sustainable consumption of timber, for example. We can talk about government procurement of certified timber. We can talk about trade in certified timber. But not only timber, we can also talk about non-forest products, mushroom, for example, or traditional medicinal plants, for example, and tourism, for example, is also one of the potential economic activity in forested area, and so on. And also, very importantly, the potential for carbon sequestration, and this is what the Red Plus, deals with, right? So these are some of the forest-specific kind of activities we can promote as a way of transforming this sector in the spirit of the green economy, right? And now, finally, on the technical side, I think the beauty of the measurement framework from UNEP and from PAGE, this index and dashboard, for example, is that it's not so much about the choice of individual indicators that we use at the global level. It is more about the methodology being the countries or the sectors, they can choose their own indicators. Okay, whichever the sectors, they can choose their own sector. Countries can choose their own indicators, and they can set their own goals and targets. And they can use the methodology, the same methodology, to measure progress. For example, countries can use a very simple indicator, forest cover, okay, and say by 2020 or by 2030, our country would like to reach the forest coverage of 35%. At the moment, the coverage is 5%. That gives us a way of measuring progress on a year-by-year basis. Next year, let's see how much progress we're making from where we are towards the goal we want to achieve. So what I'm emphasizing here is the methodology that can be easily adapted to whatever the indicators that the sectoral experts or national policy makers they would like to choose to use. Thanks.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you, Fulai. Well, maybe I'd open it up now to everyone here and really try to create a dialogue and discussion. So please just direct your question either to an individual speaker or to all of the panelists, please.
Can I? Thank you. I apologize if I'm disturbing too much, but I would just, when we like to mention, when we talk about forest as a natural capital, in accounting methodology, forests are not considered as fixed capital. So all investments in forests, basically like afforestation, in natural forests, not plantations or something, in natural forests, all investments go to intermediate consumption, into cost, basically. It would be maybe interesting to discuss that forest as natural capital in the sense of rental. When we divide everything of that, just maybe a value of forest as a capital, if we talk about that, with some rental characteristics like inclination or some from that come from nature, like similar like in agriculture, as example, vicinity of roads, a better growing stock, and because the output in forestry basically because it is assumed that the investments in natural forests will give output in tree in better increment and you know I don't know if I'm understood correctly but maybe one of things to think about.
Thank you. Before I turn it back to the speakers, perhaps there were a few other questions. I think I saw someone, a colleague here. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Simons. My question is very specific. I was involved with UNEP in several groups like sustainable consumption and production. I was in Rio during Plus 20. And I'm involved in several global activity outside the forest sector. And in those meetings where they discuss the global framework, the forest sector is never there. Oil and gas is there, concrete, steel, all the polluters are there to ensure a framework that will fit their future business. I will be blunt here. But the forest sector, we are the good guys. So we work apart. We create our own framework. We have certified lumber. We have illegal logging control. We now develop valuation of our forest in a world where the others are not submit to the same rules. So when the wood products arrive in the market, they have a lot of cost added on the green economy, not recognized. Payment for environmental services should be applied to all products, not only forest sector. And if it's applied to all products, the other products will become very expensive compared to a natural, low carbon, low energy, low water consumption products. But the wood sector is isolated. It's not in the big team where the framework is developed. So how do you see, what should we do as a sector to be involved more and ensure that our attributes are well recognized into the system?
Thank you. Any other questions before we turn it? Excuse me.
У меня не вопрос, а небольшое замечание.
Not a question, just a small comment in development of what our colleague said. We're talking about the forest sector, not just the forest economy. And the forest sector and the forest economy and the woodworking industry and the paper and pulp industries, which account for almost all half of all of the forest, the products of the forest sector, and it is precisely the paper and pulp industry over the last recent decades that extraordinary environmental achievements have been made. More than half of the fibers are reused. Used 5, 6, or 7 times, and it is precisely in the pulp and paper industry that the problem was solved of bleaching without chlorine, and it is precisely in that industry that the problem of minimizing wastewater has been achieved, and we forget about this when we talk about the forest sector. At the same time, it is precisely the paper and pulp industry which provides major financial flows and makes it possible to realistically talk about intensive forest use and ensuring a comprehensive use of forest resources as well as a comprehensive use of wood. And it seems to me that if we shift the accent in the forest sector a bit in favor of a profound reworking in the principles of biorefining, then to a great extent things would be easier with the question of financial financing development as well. Thank you.
Yeah. Colleagues, I'm from Ghent University in Belgium. I'm a professor of forest assessment and planning, and I have a healthy suspicion towards composite indices and so on. Maybe we come later to the aspect of data. But anyway, first about the word forest sector. I'm afraid that we are using here kind of an umbrella name. And I'm not, of course, I can identify immediately the different stakeholders, the traditional ones, in industrialized and Western economies. However, I just want to know from, for instance, Mr. Sheng in the first place, from his global view, where are the actors in the forest sector in the South, what we used to call developing countries? If we apply the traditional definition of forest sector as we knew it in the past, there won't be much in the South, except for probably some logging companies. However, there is a mind shift, at least in the academic sector of forestry, that trees and forests should be regarded differently. It's not about closed forests anymore. If you would look very broadly at the importance of single trees or small forest lots in the South and what importance there is in the local economy, you should be surprised. So not surprisingly, on the map that you showed, the whites were in the southern countries where there were no data. So I just want to know what's your viewpoint specifically in the whole exercise. I mean, I don't doubt the merits of the exercise of developing indices and so on, but I have the feeling that we or you are running ahead and probably losing lots of stakeholders who are not probably familiar with, first of all, data collection, data analysis, and probably are not really a player in the whole field. So that's my first major comment. Thank you.
Excellent. Let me take these first four questions and turn it back to our speakers. Perhaps starting in reverse order this time, Fulai.
Okay. So I will probably also start with the reversing order, and then where's the global south in all of this? I think there are a few things here to mention. One is you might have noticed that we have tended to talk about forests rather than forestry. Forestry is traditionally identified with an industry that is focused on timber production. But of course, in the context of the green economy, we have been talking about forests and not forestry, because forests cover more than timber production. And that is very well recognized. I might have also mentioned earlier the importance of non-timber forest products, pharmaceutical or medicinal plants, traditional medicinal plants, and ecotourism, carbon sequestration, and so on. And certainly to that, we could add the importance of local livelihoods and the dependency of local communities on forests and so on. So these issues are very well recognized by the fact that we have not been talking about forestry as a sector. We're talking about the larger forests. Now, the other thing I would like to mention is the work on indicators really can serve different purposes. I mean, depending on the purposes of your work, then the framework we develop can be very different. And I tell you why. I think of 5, 6, maybe 7 years ago, let's say when we first launched the Green Economy Initiative in October 2008, we did not immediately think of doing any work on measurement, on indicators. When we first launched the green economy work, we were just trying very quickly to get the policy messages out. The policy messages being that there are opportunities, there are economic opportunities by doing things differently, by growing the economy differently. We didn't bother to do too much work on indicators. But then, as the concept of green economy got more and more popular, we were increasingly asked the question, how do you measure, right? And even at that point, at the gun point, no gun, but we did not jump right into the work of measurement because we looked around, we felt that there were many other organizations already working on indicators. There was no shortage of activities on measurement. Our very close partner, well, both World Bank and OECD. OECD, by 2010 or so, they had already come up with a green growth measurement framework with four or five categories we heard about today. And the World Bank has been working on their adjusted net savings and comprehensive wealth, genuine savings, and so on for many, many years, for more than two decades. So we in UNEP, we said, why do we want to just, you know, to be more clever and come up with yet another set of indicators, right? So we didn't jump into it. And we were asking ourselves the question, what's really needed, including in the global south? And then we came to the conclusion that indicators work should first and foremost serve the need to inform policy, to address policy issues. Otherwise, it's not going to be very useful, certainly at the country level. So we took an initial effort to develop a different framework, not focusing on individual indicators, but focusing on the policy process. To say in a particular country in the global south, whether it's Zambia or Kenya or Uganda, let's say, what's your major policy issue here? And which indicators can help you define your issues? So if your issue in the forestry sector is forest cover or maybe biodiversity in forests, then what are the most useful indicators that can help you articulate your issues, to describe the extent of your issues, right? And then to help us understand the causes of your issue. And then what are the policy measures that can be put into place to solve your issues? And then there you can also talk about indicators to measure your policy efforts. For example, somebody this morning talked about subsidies, bad subsidies. And there are also, I understand, bad subsidies in the forestry sector as well, right? To encourage excessive logging, for example. So if, for example, your issue is deforestation, and you have deforestation indicator to describe that problem, and if your policy instrument, one of them is reform the subsidy in the forestry sector, then you can look at the subsidy indicator and say, what is the extent of your subsidy at the moment and how much you want to reduce the subsidy over what time period? That's a policy indicator. Now, if suppose you implement that policy instrument, and with the implementation of that policy instrument, the impact will not be confined to the forest alone, right? The reform of subsidy will have a more encompassing impact. Then you are talking about evaluation indicators. You are evaluating the policy impacts across a number of domains. So you have another set of indicators. In a nutshell, we have developed a framework to enable countries to define indicators in accordance with their policy agendas. That's what we did initially. But the policy demand on us has evolved, as the green economy concept has gained even more momentum after Rio Plus 20 and with the SDG and so on. That is expectation for us to have something at the global level, to be inspirational, right? Not necessarily connected to the on-site, the country-level policy making, but as a global sort of a normative instrument to encourage governments to have positive competition. So we have, in that context, we have developed this index framework, and the policy usage is rather different from the country-level applications. It is really at a global level. Let me stop here, and I can revisit some of the derivative issues coming from this very important question.
Okay. Great, excellent. Thanks, Michaela, I'll turn to you now. We think we have 5 minutes left. Is that correct?
Yes.
In this open discussion, so this is probably the last moment to offer your thoughts. But if you could respond to any questions. And I think I would also like to put on the table the question that was asked by Guy at the end of last session as well, which was really quite interesting. And this was this question of, you know, how do the green economy frameworks relate to more of the sustainable development indicators that are being produced? Certainly we have the SDGs process, which also is calling for new indicators, new data sets. I think that's a really interesting question that most international organizations are facing as they relate some of their previous work to this SDG framework. And so I don't know if you can also touch on that in addition to the questions we've heard. Thank you.
Thank you, Guy, for your presentation, for your question. I'll start with your question. I think I presented the slide with all the SDGs, and I wanted to highlight that many of the OECD green growth indicators are being used to track progress towards SDGs. So there is overlap between both, and I think we must make sure that we make the most of out of the synergy that exists between both of this of the frameworks, because it's it would be a waste of time for everybody to duplicate our work. And for this, all the countries should focus on the CIA, on the System of Environmental and Economic Account, which will provide the basis both for green growth indicators and for the SDGs, which then both interact. And you also asked about the use of these indicators. I think it is important. The indicators were developed at the OECD mostly for making sure that they inform our policy work, and that they give a better sense of. Because what's really important to understand, and I think we still have difficulties making the links between all of it, is the interaction both between the policy and the outcomes on the economy and the environment, and even to answer one of your questions, between different sectors, it can be between different environmental sectors, they both interact with each other, and also between economic activity. So I think this work, different sector-specific different sector-specific work needs to interrelate with different topics, because if we have different competing activities, whether it's fuel wood or construction material or pulp and paper, then we need to ensure that they don't hinder progress towards green growth as we move forward. And also on the, I just wanted to finalize to end my comment on my previous position that was focusing on climate change mitigation. And when I wrote a report on climate change mitigation, the most challenging part was the forestry sector, because of the lack of data and the lack of understanding how of its interaction with the other sectors. And if it was good, I didn't have a clear sense of if something was good or bad and how this would trickle down on other sectors, under environmental sectors or other economic sectors. So I look forward to the discussion on and the presentation from the forest sector later today. Thank you.
Thank you, Michaela. So Derek, I think you have the last word from the panel this afternoon. There was a very interesting question that was raised on how the forest sector should engage. There was a question that in fact it hasn't engaged very often in many of the international fora. Is there, do you have recommendations on how the forest sector might consider their engagement in these fora to, just really to increase the likelihood that these kinds of values might be included in these measurement frameworks? And of course, any other comments you have on the other questions?
Right. Thanks. Sure. Well, on the representation and engagement question, and I made a call for that with my first remarks. I'm not sure I have a magic formula for that, but if we look at what happens with the measurement discussions internationally on measurement frameworks, typically what I have seen is obviously strong engagement when we're talking about national level representation from statistical offices. and to some extent from ministries of the environment. And it's not always the case in every country that a ministry of the environment also represents, say, forests or other natural resources. So through official government channels, there's, I think, opportunity there. And the comment was also made that previously that there might be to some extent those international discussions around those frameworks run ahead of what's happening with stakeholders that are engaged in certain in areas, and I think that is actually quite true. So this engagement would help, but there is perhaps scope for that. I wouldn't know the details for the forest sector, but given the engagement also of business, the private sector, of initiatives that, or taking advantage of existing platforms that bridge the different types of stakeholders, and bringing that then to an international level. Again, I'll mention the Natural Capital Protocol, which has been largely business, but there's a real role for government to engage in that, and that's also becoming a measurement or a priority on a measurement agenda. The only last thing I would say about, which responds more to the question about the boundaries, clearly, yes, there is overlap, and it can be, this is one reason I suppose why we're having this workshop, it can certainly be confusing to see the forest for the trees and to make out the different trees that are there. I would emphasize that at least at a national level, the SIA provides, in a sense, a kind of backbone for a data and indicator infrastructure, and also provides a means to link national level to subnational sector level or different actors that are in particular that are managing land and forests, and the accounts are designed that way. They don't meet all the needs necessarily, and they certainly don't meet all for even green economy at this point, or green growth, but they go a long way and they're flexible. They don't necessarily meet all the needs for sustainable forest management either, but they provide that backbone. And I think we just also need to recall that when we're looking at these measurement frameworks we've talked about this morning, they are largely macro economy-wide initiatives. That is not to say that they should not be seen as an umbrella or as somehow at a higher level than what a sector needs for its own purposes. If we look also at these international initiatives, the green economy measurement framework, green growth measurement frameworks are again very macro, very aggregate. But of course, now what we've seen with the development of the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development and the indicator process, which is of course not complete, but there is a much more direct attention to sector-specific indicators, and that's, I think, one way to try and conceptualize what's going on in these different arenas, with there being overlap. I'll leave it at that.
Excellent. Thank you, Derek. I think that was a fantastic way to summarize this session. We're 5 minutes over. I apologize, Yvonne. But to thank the FAO and the ECE again for this session. I think the discussions from this morning and our discussions early afternoon have really, I believe, created the right momentum to go into the next series of discussions, which will be much more focused on the sector, on the forestry sector, and to really understand how the value of forests can be reflected ultimately in green economy frameworks. I think what's interesting is perhaps what we're seeing is perhaps a roadmap for some sort of collective action amongst various institutions that are engaged in this area, and to see how they might take this forward. So with that, I'd like to, if you'd join me in thanking the experts for their for all of their effort this morning and their presentations, and for taking part in this early afternoon's discussion. Thank you.
Thank you very much to you, Ben, for excellent moderation of this first panel discussion. Thanks to the presenters and then to the discussants.